there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here at WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Now starts the time. Here it is. This is the week when holidays get signaled and sent off and started. Yep, no matter what it is, whether it's Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, everything else, this is the time. And this is the time of year for us in the psychology profession that we see the most danger for people. Yes, it's a time when people get the most upset. The most upset. Now, maybe that's because they get, there's a shortage of light. Maybe it's because the light spectrum gets shorter and there's a tendency always for people to get a little more depressed when the light spectrum gets shorter. They've actually worked on this in Sweden. They're actually treating people by giving them longer light spectrum. Some people put light bulbs outside of their house and have them on a timer so that their house has more light longer days. If you're very sensitive to light, you could tell it. You could tell every winter you become depressed. It's called seasonal adjustment disorder. That's one of the factors. But the other factor is that holidays can be so stressful and so difficult, filled with expectations and filled with disappointments, filled with mixed feelings, filled with needs, filled with memories. So I thought we'd do a program today to get you ready for the holidays this year. So this time I want to give you some strategies. Strategies to help you control that which goes on around you. Now, let's say that we have a number of ways you could be. You could be alone. You could be spending the holidays alone. Whether or not you celebrate Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving to some people is the holiday of the season. Now, I know better. I know that Thanksgiving is certainly not a celebration of the United States at a time when we took our Native Americans and stole their land and then, you know, threw them into slavery. So I'm not celebrating that when I celebrate Thanksgiving. But the traditional Thanksgiving of my family has always been about celebrating the family, celebrating the bonds, celebrating the connection. So it's very difficult, you know, if you feel ethically that you can't celebrate the holiday and yet you have a family tradition of celebrating the holiday. I think paying attention to both is very important, to both issues, to see it as a day of celebration and a day of grieving at the same time, especially for the turkey. Well, if you're alone and you live alone, it's an interesting time for all the holidays. If you're alone and you're unrelated and you're a private kind of person, the holidays become a very strange thing for you. You live in a world where all of this takes place outside of you. You know, sometimes I wonder what it's like to live in those little glass balls that you turn upside down, the ones that have the snow inside. What's it like being on the inside of it? You know, looking out. The whole world has so much activity. I spoke to a friend today who was thinking about coming into New York today, and she said, you know, it's 7 o'clock, and it's too difficult for me to come into New York. And she's a lovely human being, but she started coming by, and I said, New York is filled with just the energy you need, because energetic holidays are energetic, and they could fill you with good spirit if you handle it right. But if you're alone and you live inside that ball and you think of the holidays taking place all outside of you and you don't go out to join any of what's happening, it tends to be a sad time. Or if you have a mate who is another private one and the two of you just hang together and you bah humbug all day long, it's kind of going to have its difficulties. even if the two of you do, you know, buy a mistletoe tree or something for your house. Now, if you have families, most people do, it's a very interesting time of to examine your relationship with your family, or if you're parents and you have kids and children and you want to invite them over, that's another form of family. So if you're a child who has family, you know, these are all different models of it. But one way or another, there is the family dinner. And I'm going to talk about the one where people who have somebody in their lives, or if you don't, you do have a family. And if you have a family and you're going to spend your time with your family at this holiday, to the one that starts this week, or Christmas, or any of them, right? What are the rules? What can we do to make it a better time? Because sometimes, you know, it's just miserable. Sometimes you combine the tryptophan of meat, of eating a lot of food, and you get sluggish, and you get almost, you know, kind of want to slide you into a depression. Then there's all this repressed anger, and that kind of wants to slide you. And then there's all these other feelings going on. Then you add to that, you drink a little too much, and you slide. By the time you're ready to go home, they may as well roll you into a black plastic bag. You know, it's like the feeling is so down, you're barely able to go. So what can we do about it? How can we make it a better time? I'm going to teach you some techniques today. Number one, if you're going to a holiday celebration with a family who has been getting together for a period of time, and you're going to introduce someone new to the family, don't bring someone that the family is likely to hate. You see, don't bring someone that the family automatically is going to object to. I knew someone who went to a Thanksgiving dinner, and she brought her boyfriend, who happened to be a cross-dresser, and he went dressed as a woman. Well, you know, poor Italian family. They didn't feel too good about it, right? They tried, but they couldn't do too good about it. Don't bring somebody who's, don't try to make your statement about how independent you are by bringing somebody who is objectionable to your family. That's a beginning. I suggest that. Holidays are meant to accent the positive aspects of your family, not to elaborate the negative ones. It's meant to just kind of show, you know, here's what's good about us. Here's a good deal about sharing blood. Don't go to your family to fight. Don't go and say, this is it. This is my therapy. Comes together for this season and this Christmas. I'm going to go there and tell them who I really am. No, no, no. Not at a holiday. Do that privately. Get together with them at other times. However, also, don't take pain. Don't let somebody hurt you over and over again when you're sitting there at a dinner, supposedly at meals. Now, when I'm talking about meals, I remember my family used to have meals 30 people at a table. If there is somebody who nails you with barbs, who kind of throws little daggers at you over and over again, how do you deal with it? Now, all of you may have, or many of you may have this, especially if you're an independent type, you know, who kind of does your own thing. If somebody barbs you, rule number 3, don't barb back. Yes, if somebody tells you, you know, I guess you couldn't afford to get some decent clothes, and you yell back, well, you know, we're not all as fortunate as to be getting graft from the government. You know, I mean, don't barb back. Don't do it in kind. If you're gonna fight back, make it direct. Now, first of all, I would say as much as possible, it is a good rule of thumb for everybody to agree to be nice. Everybody agrees this is going to be nice. So if somebody is barbing at the table, if somebody is being nasty, you know, they're fixing for a fight some way. don't do it on their ground. Don't do it on their turf. Don't do it their way. If they barb, if they're critical, if they're cynical, don't get cynical back. You know, don't do the same thing. Here's what you do instead. If you're going to make a scene, make a scene. If you're going to do it, if you're not going to take it anymore, make a big deal out of it. Yes, you can make a big deal. You have the right to stand up, throw your plate down on the table, you know, and to say, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to take it from you. I don't like the way you're talking to me. Stop being so nasty at me, and say it directly to your cousin. Or if your father is nagging you about the fact that you have your chosen profession as a hairstylist, and he keeps nagging you by reminding you of your sisters and brothers who make a lot of money and has a lot of successes, it's okay. It's okay to stand up, throw down your utensils, anything that makes noise, and say, stop talking to me that way. Now, this is a very interesting thing to do at a table, because when you do it, the entire family, you would imagine, would get divided, and somebody would say, don't be so sensitive, what's the matter with you? And other people would start to, no, what they do is they go to heal it. You see, when something breaks within a family structure that needs the whole, they go to patch it right away. So people will be calming you down, not being critical of you, and people will be calming him down. So it's really, I mean, if you're going to blow, but do it directly. Don't fester. Don't sit there and just try to eat dinner and try to digest while your insides are rotting. That's not a good thing to do. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, giving you some tips about how you may enjoy your holiday season a little more. But throwing down your utensils and yelling, I'm not going to take it anymore, is a showstopper. And if you're the kind of person who tends to grandstand, if you're somebody who tends to get hysterical, if you tend to be the focus of the family grief, inhibit yourself. Don't let yourself do it. Just don't be the problem child again. Leave it alone and watch and smile and watch how somebody else becomes the problem child for once. You see, sometimes the reason that these explosions take place is because there's a kind of an underground anger that's going on, and people just want it to come out. So if it happens, it happens. I come from the part of the family that I remember most having dinners was an Italian part of my family. And the Italian part, which is not the French part, the Italian part would have these dinners, and they would have these dinners, and somebody always screamed at somebody else at dinner. And there were arguments. There were times that you could see it. I could remember uncles standing up and vehemently yelling at their brother. And they look like they're going to tear each other's heart out for a quick second. And then it was over. So I was used to shouting. But we had another weapon. We had another weapon that always worked at my family gathering, one that I've given you people years ago. I'm going to give it to you again. This is one that you can use. It turns out that it is very, very effective. This happens from when, with Grandma, by the way. Grandma would always start. She would start with a moan about somebody. She would have a complaint. Grandma wore black all the time. Not because anybody died. She was just grieving. So Grandma would start in, and she'd start talking about the uncle that didn't show up, the one son that didn't show up. And she'd start a small conversation. And she'd start saying, yeah, you know, he didn't, you know. And she'd start it, and then she'd keep going. And then she'd keep going, and then she'd start crying. Then she'd start crying and making loud noises. And then the uncles, everybody would try to comfort her, and now she was getting this attention for what she was doing, so it would kind of increase. And they'd talk to her and say, well, Carmine couldn't come because, and she says, but he always, ever since he married that woman. And the thing would start boiling up. But they had this magic thing. There's a phrase. My family had a phrase which I'm going to teach you, and I taught my audience 2 years ago, and they've used it, and my friends, don't miss this. It's wonderful. Write it down. I don't know how you can spell this. I'm not sure how you spell it, But here's the way we said it. Statazit. Yep, statazit was the phrase. Statazit, I don't know if it makes any sense. I must ask Roberta tomorrow if it has any sense in Italian at all. Statazit. I know you think it makes words. It sounds like stop, the, and zit, I think, meant words. Noise, you think? Anyway, statazit. Statazit was a phrase that they would say, and when they would say this phrase, they would stand up and they'd say, statazit. Soon as they would say it, everybody would stop. It was a magic phrase. All right, now I'd like you to try it. In fact, we're going to take your calls today, and I want everybody who calls to be able to say sta, imagine it's spelled S-T-A, I'm not sure it is, or S-T-A-T, sta da, whatever da is, zeet, as in it's Z-E-E-T, which may mean stop the nonsense. Some people think it means that. Other people means it says stop the truck. I don't know what it means, but whatever it means, it is magic. When you stand up in the middle of a family, and let's say you're somebody in Connecticut, you know, who comes from a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant family who keeps everything, you know, who's serving very mild meals and everything, and then one of your relatives starts, stand up and say, statazit. Watch how that little bit of garlic-laden command gets across. It's terrific. It's terrific. So that's another thing we would do. We would have this kind of sensor. Remember, everybody who calls in has to say statazit. Because if you do, and I've trained you to do this, although it may not be correct Italian, I'm not sure it is, it's just what I grew up with, it's magic. It's magic. Okay. So if you get this kind of annoying stuff, but of course that's not what a dinner is supposed to be. It's supposed to be about kindness. It's supposed to be about touching. It's supposed to be about sharing. So any kind of irritation, any kind of anger is to be avoided. Don't take on the issue with your mother there. You know, this is going to be let it by, let it pass, let it pass. We had another expression, which was lasciana stare, which was let's not start. You know, lasciana stare. I mean, that was the other side of it, but, you know, I didn't speak Italian. So I was just a kid hearing all of these words. Mostly it's to be avoided. Mostly it's not to be started. It's not to be started. Best digestion is without agitation. Just get that phrase. Best digestion is without agitation. Agita. You have agitation. You think you're going to get the right juices to digest your food faster. No, my friends, it gives you gas. People who have gas are agitated people. Because, you know, you're not getting all of those wonderful things to work for your digestion. The things you need, the enzymes and everything, they get inhibited by anger and cortisol and all the other stuff that comes up when you get angry. So try not to get steamed up, especially at a table. But don't suppress yourself too much. Now, if you had a bit of healing to do with somebody who is at the table with you or who's going to be at the holiday with you, let's say you have some kind of a battle with your sister or your brother. Let's say your brother and you had a little offense over, you know, something that took place. And the two of you have not spoke to each other for like a month or 2 months. Not that you've ever stated that this is a war, but you just have not talked to each other because you both know you're annoyed at each other, right? What do you do in that case? Well, here's a suggestion for you, friends. Take a walk. Invite that person to say, hey, I've got to go out and get some soda. You know, I'm going to go to the store to get some bread. Want to come along? Take a walk. Take a walk. Take a ride. On this walk and on this ride, do not discuss the issue. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. If they bring it up, okay, you can talk about it. But do not bring it up. Just take a walk. If you're fortunate enough to be in an environment where you can take a walk outside, You know, in some of the places I know, you don't want to take a walk outside. But if you're in an environment where you could take a walk, like out on a lawn, or if you live out there in, you know, Rockville Center or something like that, you know, you've got a little space outside your house, that's a nice thing. Go take a walk. Say, hey, want to take a walk? And if you do it, try not to have other people around while you do it. Just, you know, and then we'll be right back. And you take a walk, and everybody knows, oh, those two are settling the issue. But don't even settle it. Don't even talk about it. Just take a walk. Because if you experience close time with somebody with whom you have anger, and the time passes without any further agitation, it actually begins the healing. You may never need to discuss the issue, but if you do, you could discuss it in a peaceful place rather than an agitated, accusatory place. Take a walk. Good idea. A little time shared in peace heals many untouched wounds. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Now, another secret about doing family events or any events around the holidays is try not to have a real pressing time issue for yourself. You know, try not to have the next party you have to go to, or what time do you have to go home, or the babysitter's going to be there until 11. Try not to have that. You could tell everyone that you have it. You see, if you may want an escape, so you tell your family, I've got to be out of here at 5 because I've got to, you know, I've got to go bring the dog to eat the homework. Whatever thing you want to make up. You know, I've got to be out of here at 5 o'clock because I have a commitment to, you know, my clients, my patients, my associates, whatever it is. So you can make up this excuse. But then, if you make up the excuse, let the time slide. Leave when you're ready to leave. Don't leave by some predetermined clock. Because it's very hard to enjoy yourself when you know you've got a short time. You see, if you know you only have a half hour left, you're kind of winding down to the last half hour. Open time is one of the best ways to be with family. Open time is one of the best ways to digest food. You know, I'm going to get in a hurry. The body hears that. It stops the digestion. You know, just trying to get everything to go through. So try to have the freedom of time. And if you really want to give yourself a gift, get rid of your watch for that day. Go to a meeting, take off your watches. That's what I would do if I had another family function. Check your watches and your cell phones at the door. All right, everybody get a big bag. All right, everybody, let's get together, put your watches and your cell phones in this bag, and let's have a little time together. Now, what to bring is kind of important. This is another thing. You know, you go to a family function or you have a family function. It has become more and more important to me, as I understand, as we've done the research on it, flowers are essential. You must have flowers present. Now, must is a big word. But flowers seem to do something to a room that's not just about beauty. The human organism likes to have the presence of flowers. It says something to you unconsciously, and the presence of the flowers and the smell of the flowers and the beauty of the flowers and the idea of the flowers will actually bring a delightful sense to the people around. So I say two things about flowers. Number one, don't bring complicated flowers. Try not to get flowers that have a lot of gunk on the bottom stems. There are flowers like carnations, I think. They have a lot of stuff on the bottom stem, on the bottom of the stem. Don't get something that's going to take the person a lot of work to put in water, you know, and there are some flowers that are just a pain. They don't even stand up. You know, some of them are too big. They're too long. You get somebody huge, long flowers, and they don't have a vase, so they wind up putting in a Coca-Cola bottle. It just doesn't work. Make them kind of normal size and easy to take care of, number one. Number two, do not get fake roses. The roses that you could buy for $5 a dozen or $7 a dozen here in Manhattan, they have no fragrance. And because they have no fragrance, it's a very unusual rose. It's a kind of a disappointment. Every time you have that rose around, somebody goes over and smells it and goes, eh. And the smell they get, by the way, is formaldehyde, which is kept, is how they keep the flowers going for a long period of time. So if you're going to get some flowers, and if you're going to get those roses, mix in something that is fragrant, like lilies or like freesia, or something that has a fragrance to it. But if you can, add flowers to the family. Add it to the grouping. It's more valuable than wine. It just brings something to everybody. Flowers have healing properties. They really do. Games are good. You know this tradition at many families where people play games, card games at the end of a meal. They sit around, they play card games. That's no light tradition. It's not light. It's not meant just to kill time. There is a way that people communicate over our card game, if it's traditional card game, like we used to play Pinochle, I remember as a kid. And things took place over that Pinochle table that were great. Great. They were nice. They were pleasant. They were easy. You're digesting food on one hand, maybe drinking coffee or something like that on the other hand. And the card game was good. I'm not too much in favor of competitive sports. Like I've seen people play football. And I remember one time I went to a dinner and they were playing competitive football. And I was playing. I was out there with everybody. But the man who was running, the man who was the head of the house, had his son there. And he was just humiliating his son for the son's bad performance. And I'm in the middle of this, and I'm, oh, this isn't fun at all. At the end of it, they all came inside, and they kind of looked grumbly and unhappy. Not that kind of game. I mean, that's not the one I suggest. But other games that people might play, anything, you know, guess the color I'm thinking of, anything at all that people might create. Charades, whatever. Taking photographs is fun, too. You know, bring your camera. Everybody likes to have a photograph taken in a group. See, they like to, if they can hide their bodies behind the other people's bodies, they especially like it. So group photographs, everybody wants to be a part of it. Bring a throwaway camera. Bring a camera if you have a camera. Bring one. Try not to make too much of a mess out of it. And try not to interrupt people while they're in the middle of doing something to take a picture. So don't say, you know, smile. Try to take candid photographs. If you really want to do a thing, put a dozen cameras on a table. Throwaway cameras. Let them take whenever they want. Let them take the pictures for you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm talking about holiday seasons, and I'm talking about some of the strategies to make it a more enjoyable time for you. Of course, for some people, they start off not being enjoyable. If you're starting off depressed or if you're starting off negative, you know, it's hard. It's hard to muster up. But we've got more stuff for you. We're going to, we got more stuff about this, and then we'll be taking your calls right after the break. But we're going to take a break now. Armand DeMille, back with you shortly.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're tuned to WBAI New York. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Hi, this is Liz Wright, and you're listening to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Hi.
Kathleen Battle. Kathleen Battle, Going Home. Yeah, going home, it's an important time. You know, even when you're, if you're alone, and the holiday seasons come around, and you're going home. Finding home is a feeling, you know, it's not a place so much, it's a feeling. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, if you've just tuned in. We've been talking about strategies for the holidays, trying to avoid the usual mess that happens to people. You know, the thing that happens when you get frantically disappointed in the way things turn out. And some of the beauty that happens, how you could kind of accentuate the positive, you know, and make it as beautiful as it could be. Now, you know, I want to say one other thing about, we were talking about competitive games. I want to talk about the family divisions. This is an interesting thing if you go to a big family. Children hang out with each other. Tend to. Children tend to hang out with each other. Men tend to hang out with men, and women tend to hang out with women. Now, this is an interesting thing. What you see is people who are uncomfortable with their own gender tend to cross over. And here's what happens. People who are uncomfortable, not only in gender, but with their status, people who are uncomfortable as adults look for refuge with the children. Let the children play with each other. Don't join the children in play. If you're an adult and you find, well, the only decent people around here are the children and the dogs, play with the dogs. Let the kids have each other. Because it is a very important time for children to gather and impress, because they tend to be nice to each other during that time. And so cousins get together with cousins. The adult who wants to get in the middle of it and become, you know, the adult, let the kids have it. One. Number two. Men get together with men. Women get together with women frequently. Women in the kitchen, the men may get together on a card game, or they may gather around a silly football game or something like that to watch the football game, you know, and they're all going to watch the game. Most of them don't even watch the game. Usually the teams that are playing, they don't care about, but the game is on. It's a tradition, you know? Let them have it. If it's the only way that a man could sit next to another man and feel the other man's body next to his so he could get the comfort of almost something that's like a hug, let him have it. Women get together, and very often the women will get together cleaning up. You know, they're going to be cleaning up and doing dishes. Well, that's okay, too. I mean, if it's a time when that happens, let them have that. If you're a man who needs something done, certainly don't ask your mate who's mixed in with the group of women to step out of that grouping for a time being. And most of all, let me warn you about this. If you're a woman, do not go into the men's space. Just because when you do, it shows me that you're afraid of women. See, out of your discomfort with women, you want to be now, and you're going to be nice and flirtatious and comfortable, and all the men are going to pay attention to you, because the men are afraid to be with each other, too, you know. Men are afraid to be with their own gender, you know. They have all the different little things running on, like, I really want to hug you, but I'm homophobic. All of that stuff goes on in their brain, so they'd rather watch men bend over and play football. You know, I mean, that goes on. And then they welcome, if a woman comes in and she wants to be flirtatious or cute, they welcome it in, and she becomes the focus, and the other women hate her because she's suddenly taken over all the men. Do not do it. Now, I am not saying that roles are divided and are firm, and therefore a woman should be in the kitchen. No, let the women watch football or whatever they want to watch, and let the men do the dishes. Not a bad idea for a holiday. Hey, we have this idea this year. The men are going to clean up together, and the women are going to watch television. Oof, wouldn't that be cute? If you're in a progressive family, that might be a terrific idea. You think they'd clean better? Anyway, none of it to me. You know, I don't... you don't know. Who cares about a spot on a plate? All right. Anyway. there's a tribal thing that goes on here. We've inherited, you know, through humankind, and I hope we talk more about this tomorrow, and the evolution of our species, we have this thing that happens with these behaviors of gatherings and how the women do one thing and the men do another thing and the children do another thing. And those divisions seem to be precious and important. Now let's talk about sex at a Thanksgiving dinner, okay? There is none. Other thing that there should be little of is politics. Political discussions. Political discussions. Even if you're all on the same side, you know what I mean? Just, it's such a negative. A trash bush dinner is an insult to a turkey. You know, I mean, this should not be the focus of the time we spend together talking about how bad everything is and you all are in agreement. And it certainly shouldn't be one we are in disagreement. Politics, religion, and too much liquor. All of those don't belong. They all wind up in trouble. Okay, lastly, let me talk about taking stuff home. You know, if you have a good meal and everybody makes something, there's good leftovers. Now, good leftovers, I want you to consider that the good leftovers are not the desserts. The good leftovers are the stuff that makes a meal the next day. So you get some of that. If it's a vegetarian meal, get some of that vegetarian stuff that's nice and heavy, you know, that you could pack up and get one of those little plastic containers. So even bring one if you want and bring a paper bag. And, hey, I'll take that. What do you got, mashed potatoes? Sure, I'll take some of those mashed potatoes. Hey, the spinach, you got nothing to do. Don't throw it away. Give it to me. Pack up. Take it home. Give it to somebody. There's always somebody out there who is hungry. And if you could find a person who is homeless, Thanksgiving is one of those times, especially when it gets really cold at night. And I welcome the food. I tell everybody I'm going to eat it. You know, I say, oh, I'll have that later, or that'll be a meal for later is what I usually say. I try to keep the truth. I like to get as much stuff as I can, and I like to give it to the homeless on my way home. I feel like I'm doing something good for my family when I do that. I feel like I'm passing this on. They may never think of doing it. If I told them I was going to do it, they would say it's a waste. You know? What a waste. No, we'll give it to Johnny. He's going to have it for lunch tomorrow. And lastly, last of all, let me recommend one thing, and I'll recommend it now to you because there's still time for the major holidays coming up. And this is called the All Family No Sibs, or the All Sibs No Family event. Now, this started off by somebody I knew who had a family, and in this whole family, they had a lot of kids and a lot of family, and what she would do every year is you'd get together with the family. Well, a suggestion evolved, and what she did instead was she had everybody, she had only her brothers, sisters, mother, father, no children, no mates. Got this? You get your brothers, your sisters, your mom and pop if they're around, no siblings, no mates, no children, no siblings. No children and no mates, only siblings, only your main family, only that primary family. You will be surprised. You will be shocked what happens. Now, here's what they do. Get this? They do this, they plan this, and they actually get 3 or 4 hours together. They plan one day. They called it the Love Fest. Let's have our Love Fest on Thursday. Let's have our Love Fest on Saturday afternoon. 4 hours together, and they bring instruments, and they sing together, and they play music together, right? And that's one thing you could do. You could play cards together. You could do anything together, but do it with your primary family and leave everybody out. No one else is allowed, no kids. And if you're going to do gifts, don't pass on the gifts for the children at that meeting. Don't give your brother the gifts for the kids at that meeting. If you're going to give gifts, you say to each other, we'll buy each other a gift. Imagine many of you who have big families. You know how long it's been since you don't get gifts anymore from your brothers and sisters. They get a small thing that they would get for you. It would have a lot of meaning, something they remember from the past. You know, and if you do it, bring in something from the past. Whether it be something that you all shared together, like mac and cheese, or whether it become, you know, something that you all used to have when you were kids, if it's a marshmallow roast, if it's a, you know, whatever it was. Try to include some of that in your event. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Telephone number here is 212-209-2900. I'm going to be taking your call starting now, and tomorrow we're going to continue with a different aspect of this with Roberta Atti. 212-209-2900. I'd like to hear about you and how you relate to this stuff. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. It's 212-209-2900. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling to find out when is the poetry sessions aired?
Well, the poetry session is, what poetry?
I've heard on WBAI at, I know, in the evening time, or unless that's a different station playing.
Yeah, you would have to call the main number of WBAI, which is 209-2800. Right now you're on air, believe it or not. Your okay. voice is being broadcast across the airwaves because you're calling into a show.
Oh, okay.
My name is Armand DeMille. What's your name?
My name is Nadine Howard, Armand DeMille. I've listened before.
Hey, Nadine, what are you doing for the holidays?
Well, I'm going to celebrate it with some positive people that I know, and we're going to have dinner and do some coaction cooking together, and the children will be playing together. That's what we're going to do for the holidays, enjoy one another.
And the children will be playing together. You let the kids have their space.
Yes.
And you get together with your proactive people.
Yes.
That's a really nice thing.
Yes.
Do you look forward to it a lot?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, and you'll find out about the poetry by calling the main number.
And you enjoy your holiday also.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Armand.
Hello there.
What am I doing for the holidays? Can't really say that I care too much about the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really say that getting together with my family really does. It's just a night. Most of it's just kind of like, even getting the gifts is kind of tedious, and going through the whole thing is just, ugh.
See, you're really angry at your mother.
No. Well, let's see.
Well, let's see.
Hmm.
What does she do that annoys you so much?
Well, I gotta say my whole family. Well,
pick
most everyone
mother.
In my family annoys
let's
me.
Start
my
with
mother
mom,
annoys
yeah.
me.
Yeah, how does she annoy you?
How does she annoy me? She annoys me because she does not change. And in all the years I've known her and all the times I've spoken to her and all the conversations I've had with her, she's stuck in such a she's so hung up on so many little things.
Little things about you? She wants you to be different than you are?
Yes.
Yeah, and so she'll nag you about it indirectly.
Yeah.
She'll remind you that, you know, you should have gone to law school or something.
But that's mostly because she's lost out in her life. Or at least she feels she
does. So you understand it on one level, but you're just tired of being a part of the kind of negativity that
takes place. Well, it's not really the negativity. What annoys me the most is that I have to talk to this woman, I have to talk to her, same conversations all the time, and talk to this woman that doesn't change, and it's just like a big waste of time to be talking about the same old, tired stuff.
And I could hear another thing, which is that you are afraid that if you told her how you felt, you would hurt her feelings, and you don't want to hurt her feelings also.
Oh, God, but I have hurt her feelings. I've told her a whole lot of stuff. I've told her all of this, but it's just, that's what annoys her the most, is that I tell her all these things, and I tell things, and it like, it bounces off of her. And if I can't speak to her, if I can't speak to somebody, then you're impotent, because I can't hit her, I can't club her, I can't kill her, I can't do anything to her, all I can do is talk to her. And all this talking, it's just annoying.
Well, you're doing what you're doing, which is you withdraw from the holidays.
You
withdraw from it in your own kind of way. You do it in a resentful kind of, all right, I'll get the gift I have to get. All right, I'll be there for as short a period of time as I have to.
Well, I can't really say I do anything active like that. I go, it's fun. Luckily, I got my wife. We go, we have fun. My brother's fun. Talking to them is fun. And talking to my mother is fun when she is not so, when she's normal, when she's herself, when I'm talking to the person that's my mother and not this mother and not this when she starts acting.
Oh, boy, I wish she could hear this show. Don't you wish your mom could hear the program?
Oh, God, I've told
her. You know,
all
she can hear this. She can listen on the Internet. She can get it right after the program and say, oh, you know, such an interesting program about, well, who knows? She probably wouldn't want to hear it. It's a difficult thing, and I could hear you've made some adjustments with it. Do you bring flowers?
No.
Did you ever bring flowers?
No.
Will you bring flowers?
No.
Please bring flowers.
That's the whole problem. I don't ever want to do that.
I know, but let me tell you, wait,
if I bring flowers
wait.
To my mother,
yeah.
and I say,
not to your mother.
To my, or flowers to anybody, I don't want the relationship with them to be, I want flowers, I don't want to have any kind of normalcy brought in with flowers.
Normalcy.
I don't want that.
Well, the normalcy is not brought in, but you know why I say bring the flowers? You bring them for you. You see, you bring the flowers for you and your wife so you could have a friend there. And you bring them and say, oh, I thought this would go nice for dinner. They're not for you, Mom. They're not for you, Dad. I just thought these would be nice on the table.
Ugh,
that's all.
A little too manipulative.
Oh, you got to be manipulative if you
that's the biggest problem.
The rest of the time, you're being manipulative, you
no,
see? What do you think
problem.
It is when
what
you're buried with
most.
Anger? Yeah.
No, because I have gotten angry with her. I have scared her.
Yeah,
I know.
I could hear.
And it can happen. I mean,
I just want you
no
to have a better time.
That it won't happen. Anything, it will, and it's so silly. And that's the thing. Flowers are so manipulative.
Now,
I can't do it.
Now tell me what the word, the phrase is that I taught you.
Start the zit.
That's at least you have that, and you have it perfectly. What's your first name?
Evan.
Evan, Ivano. I thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Have a good holiday.
Goodbye. Start the zit. Magic. He knew it right off the bat. You see, if you don't want to bring flowers, it means you don't want to have the relationship with the flowers as well. And I mean, you know, maybe you think I have a private investment in the flower market. Just you got to do something a little different, my friends. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Yes. Armand?
Yes, it is Armand. What's your name?
My name is Ed.
Hello,
I just want to tell you, how are you? Happy
Good.
Holiday, first of all.
Thank you so much.
I just want to tell you, stay zitto or stay zitto means zip it or be quiet. That's all. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. So Ed, let me ask you something.
Yes.
When you stay, you say stay zitto. You have an O at the end.
No, stay zitti.
Zitti.
This is a plural.
It's a plural.
Plural. Stati zitti means all, everybody. Stati zitti.
Okay, so
good.
Okay, stati
zitto means to one person.
To one person. Stati zitto
yes.
is one person.
Yes.
Stati zitti is to
everybody. For everybody.
Isn't that amazing? How many times did they say that at family dinners when you were young?
Always.
Always, right? And it works.
Yes.
And it works. It's amazing. Thank you, Ed.
Yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure, and have a pleasant holiday.
Thank
you. You and the whole family.
Thank you. See, we told you it works. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you, Armand. I'm a little bit nervous. I have one question for you.
Sure.
You know, I have a 10-year-old son that for some time has been having anxiety problems since July.
And how old is he?
10.
He's 10 years old, okay.
Yes. And he has been getting therapy with a child therapist that do some gestalt or whatever the name is since September. Personally, I have seen some improvement. The only thing is that he's not getting into school. He's too anxious and afraid to be alone in school.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working toward that. The thing is that I really want to believe that the therapy really may help and work. But what confused me, for example, some time ago, Dr. Ali was talking on the radio about the children of Katrina hurricane.
Yes.
And he was saying that the fact that they were going to take therapy make them like starting into the path to finish with psychiatric medicine. That, you know, I don't really want to think that my son is going to finish on that path. I think, you know, I want to know if the talk therapy really is effective.
Well, I'll tell you, there are a couple of different levels of it. What's your name?
Hector.
Hector, mm-hmm. There's a couple of different levels of it. You know, most people, when they present their sons or present their children, they don't see the extent of a problem that a person might have. So it's really hard to say, because your problem, your son could have a very mild anxious condition mixed with some kind of school phobia and some kind of social phobia, which in itself would be kind of that he would deal with that if he had a good, loving therapist. I have a couple of therapists I know who are just so fantastic that they could, without medication, do most of the healing with adolescents. They could do that with the young crowd. But there are some cases where people are a little more than just a little nervous. Like if your son is imagining things happening to him, or if he has significant breaks with reality, or if he gets so kind of depressed he can't get out of his house, that's a different angle, a different level of nervousness, and therefore talk therapy alone may not help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different levels of it, you know, and it really takes a good close-up look. I don't think from what you're saying, I'm hearing so much love in your voice that I'm hearing you as a loving parent. And if you're as loving a parent as you are, I would say that your son has got a great shot, especially if he's already seeing a therapist. But if you want a second opinion, get in touch with me. I'll find a way to get your son to be looked at by somebody who will give you a straight opinion. And they'll give you a straight, honest, clear, one-shot opinion, you know?
But they definitely, you know, a child may have a chance to overcome that and
sure.
not having problems again in his life with this.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Most problems can be overcome because there's something about understanding a child and getting a child to talk about things that they can't normally talk about that makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say give it a shot, see the improvement. As long as you see the improvement, follow it. And if you want second opinions, get a second opinion. But I believe that talk therapy can help. What does the therapist say? Does the therapist say she thinks it's going to help?
Excuse me?
Does the therapist think that it's going to
help? Oh, yeah. He said that he sees a great chance of it. And actually, we're taking the therapy as a family together.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And, wow, I have discovered so many things about myself and my own fears and all that.
Oh, Enrique, that's... Hector, that's a beautiful thing. What a gift to you that your son brought you.
That's what he said.
You know, sometimes that's exactly what happens. Sometimes the one person manifests the problem so that everybody can get healed. Well, that sounds like a really nice gift and a good way for us to end our program today, Hector. I thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I got to get going. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. If you want a copy of today's program, you could call 212-757-4488. You could also get it for free on the Internet. That's thepositivemind.com. Back with you tomorrow at 1, my friends.
Radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. If you appreciate the program that you just heard, The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, please visit our website at WBAI.org and make a financial contribution to this listener-supported commercial-free radio station. Coming up at 2 p.m. will be the Arts Magazine. Stay tuned for that. Talk back with Hugh Hamilton at 3 p.m.